chapter 3 and verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 through to verse 11. Amen. Acts chapter 3 and verses 1 through to 11. It's good to see so many Bibles out. Amen. I think the slides will be up there as well. The Bible says, let me start our reading in verse 1. And Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was there, the Bible says, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asks them for arms. Now, it's not A-R-M-S, you know. He actually needed legs, not arms. But he asked for arms. He asked for some money. He says, have you got any coins? Have you got any notes? I'm a lame man and I need something for my sustenance and my life. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, no, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have give I thee. Let's read those next six words. In the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. And he lifted him up, and immediately, everybody say immediately. Now, there's power in the name of Jesus. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. A lame man is walking, a lame man is leaping, a lame man is standing, all because of the name of Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says this, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I want to speak just for a short while, and we're going to have communion tonight, but I want to speak on this title, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for these faithful people in your house tonight, Lord God. So speak to us through your word. Give us something, oh God, that we can put into our hearts, Lord God, and put into action this week as we continue to go on about our daily business, oh God. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us and help us not to just hear, but to be doers of the word. And we give you all the praise and glory. And all the church says, amen. The scripture we read in Colossians, we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean for me? Of course, as a church, we pray in Jesus' name. We marry people in Jesus' name. We baptize people in Jesus' name. Salvation and healing and deliverance is all in Jesus' name. But what does Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 mean for me as a person? When it says, whatsoever you do in word, in the speaking, and whatever you do in your actions, your deeds, it tells us to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean? What does that mean for me? You see, doing life in the name of Jesus means doing life in a way that honors Jesus Christ. You know, when you call yourself a Christian, you are calling yourself a follower of Jesus. And when someone says, I thought you were a Christian, they are saying, I thought you lived life in such a way that honors Jesus. And so we are called to be lights. We are called to do whatever we do in our words and our actions. We're told to do it all in the name of Jesus. We're told to live a life. We're told, as they say today, we're told to do life in a way that brings glory to the name of Jesus. Doing life in such a way that tells the world and tells everybody that his name is more important than our name. And our names are very important. One man once said, your name is the sweetest thing when you hear somebody say your name. And our names are important to us, but there is no name more important than the name of Jesus. And when we live our life in such a way that it is so obvious to everybody that the name of Jesus is more important than our name, the name of Jesus is more important than our church name, the name of Jesus is more important than the name of our denomination, we are living life the way the Bible tells us to do everything in the name of Jesus. And so the mandate is to do life in such a way that is obvious to everybody, whether your family, whether your workplace, whether it's school, whoever they are, that it is obvious to everybody that Jesus is your Lord, that Jesus is your Savior. And so whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. That's not just a throwaway term. The word Lord means that he is the boss. He is the owner. He is my boss. He is my owner. He is my ruler. He is my king. That's why we call him the Lord Jesus. And there are only two ways in the world. There's the ways of man and the ways of the Lord. And unless you're walking in the ways of Jesus Christ, then you cannot call him your Lord. And so whatsoever you do, do all in the name of Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 18 says this, and he, speaking of Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the church. Yes, God has put pastors in places, but Jesus is the head of the body. He's the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, who? Jesus, he might have preeminence. That he may be the preeminent one. That he may be the one at the top, at the head of the church. And so we are a people. I am a pastor and I believe completely in the power of Jesus' name. Do you believe it? There's power in Jesus' name. Brother Daniel Rousell was with me when I traveled, I think in 2016 or 2015, might have even been 2014, but went to go and preach in a place in India called Varanasi, which is the Hindu Mecca, where they go and they get into the water, and it's a very, very spiritually dark place. When you go there, you can feel the heaviness and the terrible things that you see in that city. It is Hinduism to the max. You've got cremations happening visibly. You've got witches and warlocks and all these sort of people, and they're high on heroin and drugs and all this sort of stuff sitting there, totally bewitched. And it is a heavy place in the spiritual realm. And yes, and I got there and woke up, and I was feeling fine the night before, but the day came and I was going to be preaching 7 hours straight to a very hungry church there in Varanasi. And I woke up that morning, and Daniel Rousell, you care to ask him for yourself, I woke up and I didn't have a voice at all. You know, sometimes when you lose your voice, and I've kind of lost my voice a little bit. I preached six times in the last couple of days. But you lose your voice a little bit more when you get a cold, but you can still make a noise, can't you? You can kind of just get something out. I didn't have anything. There was no vibrations in my voice box, just air going through. I had completely lost my voice. I said to Brother Daniel, I said, man, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, I can give you my notes. You can read them. And he's like, oh, please, no. And I said to him, I said, well, you're just going to have to go down and have breakfast. I said, I'm just going to stay and pray. And I knew I had to call on Jesus' name. And the devil was trying to shut my mouth, you know, trying to stop my voice there. And so as I begin to pray, I was walking up and down the room, and I was just beginning to say in Jesus' name. I was praying in the spirit. I was calling on the name of the Lord. I was just calling on God because I needed help. I mean, we're about to go to church in a couple of hours, and I didn't even have a voice. Spent all that money on the ticket. So as I was getting ready, I just began to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And eventually I got to such a point where I could at least make a noise. But then the time of faith came. Was I going to step out in faith? And as I began to preach that first morning, my voice started. Sister Sue Saranos was there as well. She saw it. And my voice started to come back and come back. We went right through from 9 o'clock right through to 6 o'clock at night. My voice was stronger at the end than it was at the beginning. And I give all glory to Jesus because there's power in Jesus' name. And we've got to learn that there is power in Jesus' name. From a very young age, my mum taught us, if you ever have a nightmare, you wake up and just command that thing to go away in Jesus' name. If you're ever in a dangerous situation, call on the name of Jesus. If you're feeling fearful, call on the name of Jesus. If you're worried about your exams, call on the name of Jesus, because there's power in the name of Jesus. I know this is simple, but I just come to remind you tonight that there is no other name under heaven and in the earth than the name of Jesus, and all power is in his name. Amen. The Bible says that there is all power, not just a portion of power, not just some power, but all power in heaven and earth is in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so I've seen demons cast out in the name of Jesus. I've gone into situations, got called, my first year of pastoring, got called to a house. I would best describe it as a drug house. A drug house. There are drugs everywhere. I went in there, there were, you know, these glass things with pipes hanging out. It smelt funny. They looked funny. They all talked funny. But somehow a young person in our church had found themselves there helping a friend. And they were fine. They should have been there. Not a good place to be. But this person was totally out of it and manifesting spiritual, you know, wickedness and demons. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't call my dad at 4 o'clock in the morning. All I knew to call on is the name of Jesus Christ. I took my Bible, the authority of the Word of God, and I stood there and I just started to pray in Jesus' name. And that demon began to manifest. And finally, that person experienced peace. Why? Because I prayed for them? No, because I prayed in the name of Jesus. And every knee must bow at the name of Jesus. Every knee. And if you believe it, we've got to start using the power that's in the name of Jesus. All power in heaven and earth is in the name of Jesus. And so I've seen demons cast out. I've seen many wonderful things. Sister Sheila's got a wonderful testimony as she was towing a caravan, and as the car began to spin with that caravan on, all she did was call on the name of Jesus, and suddenly that car corrected and came back into control. There is power in Jesus' name. And so one of the first miracles recorded after Pentecost was the healing of the lame man. And he's there at the gate, beautiful. We read it in the text, and each day he's there. And then Peter and John turn up, and there he is, lame. They said, "We haven't got silver or gold. We don't know exactly how to heal you. We're not doctors. We can't make you walk again. We're not physiotherapists. But what we've got is the name of Jesus." And so they said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And that man began to walk. He began to leap. And so all through the book of Acts, through that 30 to 35 year time frame covered in the book of Acts, we see miracle after miracle after miracle. It was that healings were instantaneous, they were complete, and they were all in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And so after the miracle, what happens? He's healed physically. The Bible says that he is made whole. He's leaping. And his soul is beginning to rejoice in the Lord. And then what happens? Because of the name of Jesus, all the crowd comes around. The crowd begins to gather. Now, this is the key. This is a very important thing. There are lots of preachers out there on TV and stuff, and they do wonderful miracles. You see miracles. But miracles is not the gospel. Uh-huh. Miracles is just signs and wonders. And so Peter and John told us what to do. When you get a crowd, a lot of people turn up to healing crusades to see healings. But if you can get a crowd, you don't need to do more healings. You need to preach Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. I mean, a lot of people that have been healed are going to go to hell unless they give their life to Jesus. And so Peter and John, the crowd begins to assemble around, and suddenly Peter and John are like any good preacher. We got a crowd. Now it's time to preach Jesus. And so they began to preach, and 5,000 people, the Bible says, in Acts chapter 4, heard the word and they believed. And this commotion attracted a crowd, and they all wanted to see more healings, but Peter and John began to preach. And look at this, Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, speaking of Jesus and his name. Through faith in his name has made this man strong. It's by the name of Jesus that this man's been healed. Who you've seen, you've known him. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him a perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This man has been made whole by the name of Jesus. And just like we see in the world today, when you begin to talk about Jesus, you can expect persecution to begin to come. You can talk about God. You can talk about Muhammad. You can talk about meditation. You can talk about anything you want in the workplace. But as soon as you start talking about the name of Jesus, people are like, hey, this guy's weird. Because there is still opposition to the name of Jesus in the world today. In fact, the devil, what more would he want than for mankind to substitute a curse word with the name of Jesus? And you see it time and time again. People using the name of Jesus in blaspheming the name of Jesus. And so persecution follows because the devil hates the name of Jesus. He knows the power that's in the name of Jesus. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 3, we find that Peter and John are thrown in jail. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 6, all the important people gather in Jerusalem to try them, to bring them before the courts. And they ask in Acts chapter 4 and verse 7, I hope you're following in your Bible. They said, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter and John couldn't understand, you see. We've been thrown in jail for a good thing. I mean, a lame man is leaping. What's your problem? But all they could think about is by what power and by what name have we got this lame man leaping? And so there is opposition to the name of Jesus. And Peter and John once again begin to preach. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Acts chapter 4 verse 10. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the way, the one who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. It is by the name of Jesus that this man stands here today whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And here we go. You want to be saved? Peter and John begin to say. And you know, just as much as you saw that man healed by the name of Jesus, they said, we want to add something extra. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. These two statements Peter is telling them, he's saying there is healing in the name of Jesus and there is salvation. Everybody say salvation. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how smart we think we are. We can have computers in our pockets. We can land on the moon. But Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Somebody say amen tonight. Amen. All through the scriptures, we see the importance of the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we see them. Peter preaches and he says, repent and be baptized. Everyone say baptized. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Acts chapter 19, it's repeated again that they are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The gospel, Matthew 24 says, must be preached in the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 24 tells us that remission of sins is in the name of Jesus. We are encouraged to ask what you will. What? In the name of Jesus. We have assurance of his presence where two or three are gathered together in his name. There he is in the midst. When we gather together in Jesus' name, he is in our midst. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. There is safety in the name of Jesus. We continue the story in Acts chapter 5. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them. This is the opposition. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. Okay? Be warned. You are not to preach anymore in this name. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Woo! Can you believe that, Pete? Hey, John, how cool was that? I mean, we were persecuted. They tried to shame us. Doesn't it feel good to be persecuted and shamed for the name of Jesus? Is that your attitude? Would you rejoice? I mean, I hope we could get to that point where we could rejoice and say, you know what? It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an honor to be counted worthy to suffer for his name. You know, if people are willing to go and die for their country, One man at the World Cup, he wanted to go watch his team play. I can't remember what team it was. But there was only seats that were available were, I don't know if you heard this story, the only seats that were available were the disabled seats. So he had to put on like 45 kilos to be classified like unhealthy so he could hop in a wheelchair and still get to see his team play. Anyone heard that story? Yeah. And, you know, he went through all of that for a football team. Like my mum would say, what is football other than just a bunch of grown men chasing a bag of wind? And he said, I'm rejoicing to be counted worthy to suffer for my team. But there's nothing like the name of Jesus. Paul, Peter and John, they leave and they're like, you know what? It's great. I feel privileged that we are suffering for the name of Jesus. And so what did they do? Did they stop preaching the name? No. And daily, everyone say every day. Everybody say every day. Every day in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The devil cannot shut our mouths. We will continue to lift up the name of Jesus. We'll continue to preach in Jesus' name. And so there are many things that you can have in life that are an advantage. And I encourage people to have an education. I encourage people to try to be successful. There's lots of things you can have in life that are an advantage to you. But the greatest advantage in life is to have Jesus and to know the power of his name. Amen? And so how do we know the name of God? You see, in the Old Testament, there are many compound names of God. We read from the very beginning, I think I've got a few of them on the screen there. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord, our Creator. Jehovah El, Elyon, the Lord Most High, God, the Owner. Jehovah Adonai, the Lord, the Master. Jehovah El Olam, the Lord Everlasting. Jehovah Jireh, my Provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Healer. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our Banner. Jehovah Makadeshkem, the Lord, our Sanctification. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our Peace. Jehovah Shaphat, the Lord, the Judge. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Hosts. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord, our Righteousness. Jehovah Ra, the Lord, the Shepherd, the Blesser, the Maker, the Mighty. Jehovah, the Ever-Present. And so we read all of these names throughout the Old Testament. As God reveals more about himself, as each situation arises, God reveals himself. When Abraham needed a lamb, Abraham knew God as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. When Israel needed protection from disease and illness and sickness, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha. Gideon knew God as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. But none of these Old Testament names, none of these Old Testament names were a complete revelation of the nature of God. When the fullness of time came, God satisfied the longings of his people and he revealed himself in all his power. He revealed himself in all his glory. And the Bible says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, and his name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And he said to Joseph, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is with us. What is that name? God revealed himself in the New Testament by the name of Jesus, the most powerful name. It sums up all of the Old Testament names of God. It is all encompassed in the powerful name of Jesus. It supersedes, it includes Yahweh and all of the Old Testament names, all rolled up in one redemptive name of God, the name of Jesus. Jesus is the culmination of Old Testament names, and his name shall be called Jesus, Mary, for he shall save his people from their sins. The heavenly announcements were given to Joseph. Call his name Jesus, Joseph, for he shall save his people from their sins. The prophecy was there that he is going to be Wonderful and Counselor, the Wonderful Child, to be known as the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Yes, he was all those things, but his name was Jesus. I'm here to tell you tonight, in the name of Jesus. And Paul in Colossians 2 verse 9 said this. If you can turn there in your Bibles, it's good. I'm going to have it on the screen, but I'm going to read a couple of scriptures before that. Colossians chapter 2. Let me hear some pages turning, please. The faster you listen, the quicker I preach. We're going to start in verse 6. I hope you've got it there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Who are we to walk in? In Jesus. Rooted. All right. You know, the roots draw sustenance. Yes? Correct? But there's another thing about roots. If a tree didn't have roots, you could just, didn't matter how big the tree was, you could kick it down. Is that true? The biggest hassle with a tree is getting the roots out. Because the roots, yes, they draw sustenance, but they also keep the tree up. And if we got to be rooted into Jesus, because here's the source of life. And if we're rooted into Jesus, we're not going to fall. We're going to stand strong. The Bible says that we are to be rooted, okay? Rooted in him, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, look at this. Beware. Everybody say, beware. Beware lest any man, everybody say people. Beware of people that are going to spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. This Bible telling me that there's going to be traditions in the world and there's going to be people in the world that are not going to be after Christ, after the rudiments or the teachings of the world. Beware of people through philosophy, vain deceit, after traditions, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Beware of people that would take the emphasis off Jesus Christ. Look, why? Why should we beware? Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of God is in Jesus Christ. Look at this. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I hear so many people, they're looking for completeness. They're looking for mindfulness. They're trying to find an answer to complete their life. And the Bible tells us that we are complete in Jesus. All of our completeness is in him. He is still the answer for the world today. Anybody sitting there doing their meditation, go, all this sort of stuff. You know what? You may have some silence, but you're only going to be complete in Jesus. You're only going to be complete in Jesus because he is the head of all principalities and all powers. And so in the New Testament, there is only one compound name is revealed in the New Testament. In Hebrew, it's Jehovah, Jehoshua, Messiah. In Greek, the Lord Jesus Christ is... Say it nice and loud, Brother Othin, my Greek scholar. Lord Jesus Christ. Kyrios. I-E-S-O-U-S. That's it, Christos. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's been in Australia for most of his life. But in English, the name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. The God of the Old Testament has become our salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Now look at these two verses. I think they're going to be on the screen if you throw it up. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 and 23. If they're not on the screen, quickly turn there in your Bibles. Let's see who can get it first. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. Look at this. Important to know. Isaiah 45, verse 22. This is Jehovah, capital L-O-R-D, speaking. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. Look what Jehovah says, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, or every tongue shall confess. That's Jehovah in the Old Testament. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Let me hear the pages. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. It says, look at this. What did it say of Jehovah? That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear and confess. Look at this. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and all things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There it is. Jesus is the Old Testament. He is Yahweh in flesh. God put on flesh. The Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. And so suddenly, a carpenter from Nazareth is casually using the unutterable. That those Old Testament names, they used to substitute it with Y, I think it was YHWH. They used to substitute it. They couldn't say it. It was the unmentionable name. And suddenly Jesus begins to use the name. He uses the phrase, I am. And we just thought it appears to just be another pronoun. It appears to just be another verb. But they identified it. They said, what is Jesus doing? He is calling himself the I am. He said, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the door. In John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. In John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 8, he says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. In John 8, he says, before Abraham was. In John 18, the soldiers were arresting him. And Jesus said unto him, he said, I am. And as soon as they heard him say, he said, I am, they fell backwards and they fell on the ground. In Mark chapter 14, to the high priest at his trial, Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds. You see, they were angry because they understood what Jesus was saying. He was not saying, he wasn't just a man, but he was saying, I am the God of the Old Testament. I am Jehovah in flesh. And that is why they crucified him, because he dared to say and pronounce that he was God in flesh. And so the Sanhedrin rushes their prisoner to Pilate, and they force him to carry out an execution through political pressure. And so what do you have when you have the name of Jesus? You have a redeemer. Everybody say a redeemer. He purchased us off the auction block. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to this world. Jesus purchased us off that old auction block. You have a guide. Everyone say, he's my guide. You have the living God. You have someone who loves you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When you have Jesus, you have the beginning and you have the ending of everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega. You have a friend. You have a true friend. It says, John 15 says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. When you've got Jesus, you've got a healer. You've got a savior. You see, there is power in the name of Jesus. And I pray we'd leave this place tonight knowing that there is power in the name of Jesus. That the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you feel sick, you say, in the name of Jesus. When you don't know what to do, say, in the name of Jesus. When you don't have any strength, say, in the name of Jesus. Whenever you face, you know, satanic powers or whatever they may be, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. That we would leave and rely completely on the name of Jesus. We've got to learn the power of Jesus' name. We're people of the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. There was a time there when a lot of Christian songs were written and they didn't even mention the name of Jesus. I like songs to have the name of Jesus. I know every song doesn't have the name of Jesus in it. But, you know, we should be singing about the name of Jesus. I don't like songs that always talk about, or people that never use the name Jesus. They just say, Christ, 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 Christ. That means the anointed one. No, his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. Use the name. Because there's power in the name. And so we got to learn the power of the name of Jesus, because it's salvation, deliverance, healing, victory, power, authority. You see, any authority that I have is because of the name of Jesus. When we pray, any authority we have is in the name of Jesus. And so Jesus brings completion. We've got to know the power of the name of Jesus. I want to finish, before we have communion, I want to finish by saying this. Jesus is everything to everybody. Whoever you are, whatever your need, Jesus is the answer. Before I go, my next point. You know, in Sunday school, we learn very quickly that Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to all the questions. When the teacher says, "Who died on the cross?" All the kids throw up their hands. Jesus, you know. Doesn't matter what the question is. I remember all the kids and the Sunday school teachers know. The answer all the time is Jesus. And so there's a story once. This teacher said, "What is white and fluffy and hops?" And one little kid says, sure sounds like a rabbit, but I think you want me to say Jesus." But Jesus is everything to everybody. Philippians, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. To the architect, and I like this, I got this out of a book. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. Anybody know anything about architecture? Hey, you got to get that cornerstone in the right place. The foundation, he's the chief cornerstone. He's the reference point for everything. Is he your reference point tonight? To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he is the bright and morning star. To the baker, he's the bread of life. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the carpenter, he is the door. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the educator, he's the teacher. To the electrician, he's the light of the world. To the farmer, he's the sower and the Lord of the harvest. To the fireman, he's the water of life. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he's the tried stone and the rock of ages. To the historian, he's the ancient of days. To the jeweler, he's the precious cornerstone. To the jury, he's the faithful and true witness. To the laborer, he's the giver of rest. To the lawyer, he's the advocate and the mediator. To the merchant, he's the pearl of great price. To the news reporter, he's good tidings of great joy. To the pharmacist, he's the balm of Gilead and the ointment. To the philosopher, he's the wisdom of God. To the photographer, he's the express image of God. To the printer, he's the word. To the publisher, he's the author. To royalty, he's the King of Kings. To the shepherd, he's the Lamb of God. To the student, he's the truth. And to the theologian, he's the author and finisher of our faith. What's his name? His name is Jesus, and there's power in the name of Jesus. I ask you today, do you really know him? Do you really know him? Do you really know him? Do you know the power that's in his name? And so I want you to have a revelation tonight that all power is in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that we've got to call on his name if we want to be saved. Have you called on his name? Have you made him your Lord? In the name of Jesus.